Okay, Shavuot world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Hey, and we went a little bit in, we're holding at Tana Rabbanan. So Tana Rabbanan, Toramim Te'inim ala Grogrot. Remember, we've been discussing the interrelationship of Te'inim and Grogrot purely in terms of whether we should go according to the volume as it was meant to be originally, all of those questions, whether we go according to units. Ignoring all of that and assuming that whatever the situation is, it'll be okay. And you want to be Torah Te'inim ala Grogrot. You can't possibly go wrong if you're using units, you know. So the Te'inim are nice, big, and fat. And you can take off Truma for Te'inim on Grogrot, even in a place. Rather, only in a place, b'makom sh'regilim la'asot te'inim grogarot. So if this is a location where people in general do that kind of thing, so that's fine. If you take out the te'inim, so then even if for a while it's going to be hard to find somebody, this is fresh. Fresh fruit, of course, spoils rather rapidly. And if it's fresh fruit, so then what's going to be if there's no coin around right away? Well, if it's a Mokum Shatarmim, so then there's no problem, because you'll always find other people that can do that work on you for making Te'inim into Grogrot. So that's not a problem. But even in a place like that, Lo Grogrot Al Te'inim, you can't give Grogrot instead of Te'inim, even if it's a place that people are actually normally do such things, and they switch one. Because why is that? Because it's not as high quality. Basically, since you're supposed to always give min hayafeh, tormi min hayafeh, and fresh figs are a higher quality fruit. So therefore, we don't want you giving grogrot al teinim. Now, the question is, let's try to understand this braita, because it seems to be fundamentally contradictory. You started off by saying that tormim teinim al grogrot, but only in a Mokum Shurigilim Lasot Te'inim Grogrot. So if this is a locale where this is something that's normally done, and there will be people that will be found to be able to turn your Te'inim into Grogrot, that's okay. That means only if it's a Mokum Shurigilim Ein. But if it's not a place where people can do that, then you cannot take off fresh Te'inim for dried Te'inim. Why is that? Because you're going to have to make sure that this doesn't spoil. And the claw is, as we're going to see, you have to give something that is mitkayim. But if it's something that spoils rapidly and it's not mitkayim, so then you can't use that, because then by the time the coin gets it, it may be spoiled. Okay, so let's try to figure out what we're talking about. I mean, obviously, look, I mean, if there's a kohanim present, so echidami, ibe ika kohen, I mean, what's the difference? You're giving fresh figs, which is the highest quality, and you're giving it to the Kohen directly. So what in the world is the problem? Even if there's nobody around, the din is, and this is a Beferish Mishnah in Maseches Trumos, Mokum Sheyesh Kohen Torim in Hayafeh. We always choose the Yafeh if there's a Kohen around to take the Yafeh, even if the Yafeh is not Miskayim as much as the other one. Okay, so it can't be talking about a place where there's a Kohen handy. Okay, so then it's Pshita, we're talking about a place there's no Kohen handy. Okay, so now, all right, so then that makes sense. If there's no Kohen handy and there's no one around that's going to be able to turn those to Inim into Grogrot, and therefore they will be around when the Kohen comes to town, I understand. But then the next piece of the braita makes no sense. Here we're talking about where there is no Kohen. So then take a look at the last part of the braita. The last part of the braita says, V'lo grogrot ala teinim, afil b'mokum shirogi lasot teinim grogrot. You can't give grogrot for teinim. This would be no matter what, even if it's in a place where that's the norm. Now, I don't understand. The halacha of the farish is that if there's no Kohen available, you just said the Mishnah's talking about there's no Kohen available. If there's no coin available, then you're supposed to actually give something that is going to be mitkayim above something that is fresh and delicious, because what good is fresh and delicious if there's nobody to give it to? So since the Mishnah says, Beferish, the same Mishnah in Trumah says, Welcome Sha'in Kohen, always give whatever form of a fruit is going to last longer. So Mokom She'in Kohen Torei Mina Mitkayim. So, I mean, if you're telling me I'm not supposed to give grogrot, so then we're talking about in the Sefer that there is a coin, and that's why you're supposed to give the best. And in the case of you, where you have the fresh, so then that would be the best. That's why you can't give grogrot. So I don't understand. I mean, we've got a contradiction. I mean, the first part of Bryce is talking about is we prove that there's no coin. And the last part of Bryce is talking about that there is a coin. I mean, it doesn't make sense any other way. But isn't that strange? Well, there's no choice. We'll have to say, Reish the Lekka coin, the Sefer the Ika coin. Now, this, says Rav Papa, is actually a limud on a universal sense. What is Kedai in order for us to get the best possible understanding? Do we assume, if we don't see any way out of it, that we have to learn that a braita is going to change its case? Or could we better say that case doesn't change, but there are different shitas, and we know the different shitas because we happen to know that there's a machlokas gufa in Trumais about the word of according to Rabbi Yehuda, we always give mina yafa. So, I mean, we could easily say that where it says, don't take off, even if there is a coin, where there is no coin, don't take off something that's miskayim. So that would be true according to Rabbi Yehuda. We could always say that it's just two different shitas. It's not two different cases. So you see from here, says Rav Papa, that we are actually more willing to be dochek, to be mukmina masnisa betray taime. If you have to figure out what a braita is talking about, and you have a choice of either saying it's the same case but two different mandiyomri, or you could say it's the same mandiyomar but there's different cases, then we will actually prefer to say that it's talking about two different cases. Velo mukmina betray tanoi, and we will not initially say that without the braita indicating that this is a different shita, that it's said by two different people. And now, for that most wonderful moment in the week where we have a word directly from our very own Capitan.
First of all, Shavuot Tov to everybody. another Shabbat passed relatively peacefully. Have to be grateful for something.
Grateful for something? What? I'm cutting you out.
I got a wedding, Rabbi, my granddaughter coming up.
I don't give a hand about your wedding. I'm in the middle of a total hakaras teva for one miracle after another, and you're saying we have to be thankful for something. I don't have room for that. Now that's better.
That's called playing it safe.
No, we did it with a full heart. In schluss of that, we can even have a wedding.
Although a very mitzumtam compared to what it was. Different place, different time, different wedding.
You know what?
That's, according to the circumstances.
That itself is a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
All you needed was an insane wedding. With all the political insanity, get out of here.
It'll be, like I told the bride to be, it'll be very memorable, no matter what,
you have to be modo mishabeach, that at least you got a chance to attend a real wedding.
Yeah.
Call on me now, quote. Now, we discussed this Mishnah earlier, and remember we talked about how is it possible that we're going to be using this warmish water, lukewarm water anyway, and that's the worst thing to do if you want to avoid chimut. But on the other hand, we know that the din of the mincha yafeh actually makes demands of us to use warmish water in order to properly make that mincha. So what should we do if we have to avoid chimut, and yet at the same time we've got to make that mincha beautifully? How are we going to do that? So when we use lukewarm water, but we have to be mishamram shelo yachmitzu. So remember what the mishamram shelo yachmitzu means, that we constantly work with it the way we do with matzot that are getting close to chimutz, and that way, by constantly kneading them and so on, they do not become chametz. Now, this is talking about the original. We've got three different situations that we have to consider. We have the entire mincha before the chametz. And that entire mincha, as we're going to see, needs to be watched not to become chimutz. Then, if we already did the kmitza, and we've got a problem now to make sure that the chametz does not become chimutz before it's put on the mizbeach. And even at that point, what if your mechametz the shirayim? So those shirayim also cannot be chimutz. We're going to see the different makoros for these halachas. So the second part, this is different. This is a michmitzu shiareha. How about if we don't have the kumets mixed with it? So you figure, okay, whew, I'm clear now, because after all, what I really have to worry about is the kumets, right? So if the kumets is okay, that's the part that's going to be put on the Mizbeach, and that's the part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbin on, that you're not supposed to put on. So'or, chametz, you're not supposed to put on. No, not true. A second din is that imechmitzu shi'areha, even if the shirayim become chametz, you're still going to be over on a lo ta'aseh. So basically, you've got to also be careful after you take off the chametz. What's the makor not for this? What's the makor for the first statement? Kol ha-menachot have to be mishamron shelo yachmitzu. That is kol ha-mincha shetakrivu la-Hashem. That's even before you take off the chametz. Lo te'aseh chametz. So that has to be done in such a way that you're going to see to it that it doesn't become chimutz. And this can't be talking about shirayim, because it's saying kol ha-mincha shetakrivu la-Hashem. So what it's referring about is the kol ha-mincha, the entire mincha, out of which there's going to be something that is brought to Hashem. And then we have a separate pasuk, which the Mishnah hasn't told us what it is, but the Gemara is going to look into it. Separate pasuk that tells us, well, how do we know that if we took off the chametz, we still got a problem with the shirayim? Now, you should know that there are completely different chiyuvim on each element that needs to be done with that mincha. You will be chayev separately on that chimutz. Chayev al lishata, al arichata, ve'al afiyata. So you're going to be chayev separately just for kneading the dough. And you're going to be chayev just for braiding the dough, making it nice. And you're going to be chayev separately just for baking the dough. So every one of those steps is enough to be mechayev you a separate chiyev of malchus. So now, where do we know that? I mean, the Mishnah explained where we know the first part of the Mishnah, but where do we get the second part of the Mishnah here that says that even if you're talking about the shirayim, you would be chayev on every step? Well, says Rish Lakish, look, we also have the pasuk that says, lo te'afeh chametz chelkam nasati, but let's not read the chelkam nasati. Let's just read, lo te'afeh chametz chelkam. How about that? Don't make the part that is theirs, don't even make that part into chametz. So that would be even the part of the Kohanim, which would refer to the Shirayim. Even though the Pashtus is, of course, we read the Pasuk, Lo te'afeh chametz, kama, chelkam natati ota me'ishai. Fine, but l'maisa, it's a reference to chelkam. So afilu chelkam, lo te'afeh chametz. But I thought that that Pasuk of chelkam in the Lo te'afeh chametz is coming to tell me something completely different. I use this pasuk of lo te'afeh chametz chelkam to tell me that you're chayev separately on the shirayim. I thought that it was to tell me that you're chayev separately on the afia, but not on the shirayim. Lo te'afeh. If we take a look at the lashon of the limud, Lo te afecha mates. Ma Talmud Omar, as the Braita spells out. Valo kvar nemar lo te asecha mates. So let's realize that we've got an overall description of Menachos right at the beginning of the Menachos. Kol amincha asher takrivu l'Hashem lo te asecha mates. That's pretty clear. Any mincha that you're bringing, do not make it chametz. So then why in the world, when we get all of a sudden to start to discuss this particular mincha, do we start talking about the minchas machavas, all of a sudden we need to know, lo te'afei chametz. Well, obviously, I mean, that's a din in all the menachas, right? So why are we repeating it? I'll tell you why. Lefi she'ne'emar. Look, it's true that it says any mincha should not be made chametz. So why did you say lo? If you said already lo te'aseh chametz, then why do you have to tell me lo te'afeh chametz? It's not certainly not telling me anything extra new, is it? So therefore, this is good for the limud lefi she'nemar. Lo te'aseh chametz, yocho lo yechayev ala achat hakula. Lo te'aseh means anything that you do. Put it all together, make every last bit of this mincha into chametz, you'd be chayev one time malchus. So even whatever you did, you kneaded it properly, you braided it, shaped it, whatever it's supposed to be, you baked it, it's all the same iser. Ah, that's why it says lo te'aseh. And therefore, we have the famous limud. We have a dover sheyatza min haklal, as we'll see. So, afia bichlal haita. So, in the general Easter of lote aser, that would include everything, including, of course, the baking. So, why did we need bedavka to mention the afia? Lakish aleha, and to tell me. Just like afia is miyuchedet shu ma'aser yechidi. It's one part of a lot of different steps that are necessary in order to get the mincha made, right? And it's mentioned as a single step, which would be mechayev you on it just on its own, without doing anything else. That teaches us that afani avili shata varichata, v'choma ase yechidi sheba. So I'm therefore telling you, we see from here, that any very specific act that's part of the achana of the mincha is going to be mechayev separately. What? Excuse me, but what's this last piece? Of koma seyechidishaba barnea. I choke when I can't do this. It's worse for me to drink. So what is the extra maaseyechidi that we're talking about? That you know what he meant? He meant latuye kituf. Even kituf, that kituf is where you take your hands, dip it into water, and then you tap it on top of the dough to smooth it down. And that's a ma'aseh yechidi, even though it's not like a very meaningful act, but it's enough to be included in the afia or the aricha or the lisha, so to the ketifa. Anyway, that's what he means. Can we get back to the Braisa now? Anyway, so you'd be chayev on each one of these steps. Bifnei atzma. So therefore, it's teaching me that you're chayev on each one. So how, understand, how does Reish Lakish claim that this is the pasuk that we use, lo te'afeh chametz, we use to tell me that the shirayim are aser? This is it in whatever we know in the mincha, if we don't know the shirayim, so it's a din in the kol mincha, the first part of the Mishnah. Each and every stage is going to be mechayev you. Now, Reish Lakish, this had nothing to do with Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was looking at the word chelkam, and you're looking at the word lo te'afeh. What are you driving this? This has nothing to do with each other. First of all, it says chelkam. Okay, so chelkam means even the shirayim. Now, besides that, you have to wonder, why mention te'afeh? It's as if the afia is miyuchad. I mean, we have the general concept of asiya. That's something else. That's to teach me that just like afia is one particular act, so too any identifiable and choshev act is enough. I was just pointing out, says Reish Lakish, the word chelkam, anan chelkam kamina. Hey, but you know what? If Lamaisa, the Pasuk, is coming to tell me chelkam, how do you know it's coming to tell me anything else? Maybe that's the whole point. This is repeated in order for you to know that the Shirayim are also Chayiv. You can't use this Pasuk to tell me that you would be Chayiv separately on every act. Not true. Because if the only point was to teach me that even the Shirayim are included in the Isser, so then it should have said that Chelkam lo tefeh hametz. I mean, what's the subject here? If the subject is Reish Lakish, then right, Chelkam lo tefeh hametz. When you just say lo tefeh hametz, and then you make the Chelkam part of the next part of the pasuk, Chelkam latati mi ishai. I mean, obviously that is an additional drush. It's not the fundamental focus of the pasuk. So therefore, we've got two separate issues. Why does it say lote afei chametz at the beginning here? So my lote afei chametz chelkam, shma mina tartis. We see two completely different issues. First of all, chelkam is included. That is, as Reish Lakish pointed out. Now, the fundamental meaning of the repetition of the pasuk, as if the focus is on the lote afei, that's coming to tell me that any act, which is an act yechidi, is chayev. But what makes you say any act? I mean, it doesn't say any act. It says afia. So maybe it means afia. The ema afia, yes. I understand the Torah spells out that if you bake it, you're chayev. So afia, the parat barach bana, on that you'd be chayev, yes. Now, of course, there's also asiya. Okay, so asiya includes anything else other than afia. So on the afia alone, you'd be chayev, one. And then on all the other things that you do, including the lisha and the kituf and the aricha, you would be chayiv on the asiya, which is another one, but you can't be chayiv on each one of them. So maybe on the afiya, yes, you're chayiv once, and on anything else and everything else, you'd be chayiv one for all of them together. But how do you know that you can use afiya as a marker to tell me that you'd be chayiv on each one of these separately? Well, that's one of the midai shater and the dreshes man. Mishum davidover shaya bichlal v'yatzal min haklal olamei. This was included in lotei aseh chametz. And we mention it specifically, so it was yatzal min haklal to teach me a particular din. The halacha is lo olamei dalatz mo yatzah. What's the way to be derish the pasuk? That it's not referring to itself, but rather it's going back to redefine the klal kulo. And since it says afia, it must mean that every maisa yechidi that is necessary in the preparation is actually the same as afia. But wait a minute. How do you know that this is a davar shiyatza min haklal? Maybe this should be a klal uprat. Look, the Torah begins with the general rule. Lo tiyatzer chametz, right? Okay. Then it follows with a specific case of lo tiyafet. But that's a klal and a prat. And what's the rule about a klal and a prat? A klal and a prat ain bichlal ela mashe beprat. And there's only one thing to consider here. And what is that one thing? Afia. That's the only thing that you mentioned. So dafka, we should say the only thing that you would be chayiv would be on the afia and not on anything else. Midi achrin alo. Omer Rabbi Aftariki, this is not a klal and prat. Why? Because they're not one next to the other. One is in Vayikra, one is in Tzav. And how do you call that a klal and a prat? You talk about all kinds of other things in between. So that's a klal uprat that's called a klal uprat hamuruchakim zemize. They're too far away from one another to be viewed as a system of klal uprat. The chol klal uprat hamuruchakim zemize. So therefore, we're left with a davar shiyatza min haklal, lo lelameid al atzmo yatza, ela lelameid al haklal kulo yatza. Wait, is this really true? What Rav Aftariki said? Masiv Rav Ada Bar Ava, or some say, kedi, klal uprat amru hakim zemize, ein daninotan bichlal uprat? That can't be true. take a look at this brayta. And here we're talking about the din of the shechita of a Soyer Nasi. So it says by the Soyer Nasi, V'shachat oto b'mkoma shehishchat et ha'ola lifnei Hashem chatatu. Okay, so what does that mean? Where's the Oila Shechtet? It's telling us the Shechtet in the same place. So that's B'tzafen. So Heichon Oila Nishchetet B'tzafon, Avze B'tzafon. Right? But I thought we know the general din that all of the these Chata'ot are supposed to be B'tzafen. V'chi Onu Mikan L'medim? This is the place that we learn Tzafen. V'alo Kvar Ne'amar. Excuse me. But in Tzav, we have the general Zot Torah Tachatat. B'mkom asher tishachet ha'ola, tishachet ha'chatat. No? That's like an overall statement that's telling you, wherever you're bringing a chatas, you shecht it in the same place you shecht the Ela, and it has to be B'tzafen. So, if that's the case, it certainly would have included Soyer Nasi. So why does it mention Soyer Nasi? I'll tell you. Lama Zeyatzah. The reason it mentions Soyer Nasi again is in order to be koveya that it should be Shana Lava Katuv La'akev, to tell me that if you don't shecht it B'tzafen, that it's actually pasul. And remember, if you don't repeat something in Kachim, then you don't know that it's ma'akev. So this is the ikuva, and then we take that ikuva and we apply it to everything. You say so. Maybe Gufa, it's coming to tell me, since the only case that was mentioned was Soyer Nasi, so maybe it's telling us that only the Soyer Nasi is Tohen Tzafen, but nothing else is Tohen Tzafen. So that we should understand that the general halacha of b'mkom asher tishachet ha'ola, tishachet ha'chatat is not meant to apply to all chata'ot. It's meant to apply specifically to the Soyer Nasi. Maybe that's what it means. No, can't mean that. Because Talmud Lomar, look, it says also in the din of the chatas yochid, twice it says, once a Soyer yochid, the Seirat Yochid, and once the Kivsat Yochid. So it says over there also, V'shachat et ha'chatad b'mkom ha'ola. So obviously, Zeh b'nei av l'kol chata'ot shetu no tzafon. To mention that again, it makes it clear it's certainly not a din dafka in the Soyer Nasi. It means that basically, you see that wherever any chatas we talk about, we spell it out. No, it actually is supposed to be in the Tzafa. There's no way to avoid that. Now, here's my point, says Rav Ada Bar Ahava. And I think that it shows that Rav Aftariki, who claims that we do not darshan klalu prat if they're far away from each other, that he's wrong. Because, look, the Braisa says that the only reason that we ended up with saying that there's a chiyuv of tzafin on all chata'ot was because of the fact that we've had repeated in the third pasuk and in the other pasuk that we don't bother mentioning, but both the Seirat Yochid and the Kivsat Yochid repeat the din of the Shachat Tachatat B'Kom HaOlah. If it wouldn't have been for that, it seems that I would have been stuck by saying that only Soyer Nasi is Tohen Tzafen, and nothing else is Tohen Tzafen. Now, does that make sense? I'll tell you why it makes sense. The only reason I would have thought such a crazy thing is because it's a klal uprat. So one pasuk says, in general, b'mkom asher tishachet ha'ola, tishachet ha'chatat, and the other pasuk says, no, the Soyer Nasi has to be shachat oto, b'mkom asher tishachet ha'ola, right? So apparently we're darshaning a klal uprat, even though one is in Tzav and one is in Vayikra. And according to Rav Aftariki, we don't darshan a klal uprat if the Meruch Hakim Zemizeh. So you see Rav Aftariki is wrong. La Bisham Davi klal uprat afa gav the Meruch Hakim Zemizeh. Still danim oto b'klal uprat. So now we got a problem. if Avtariki is wrong, so then that means that what we said before was also wrong. And it is a perfectly good klal uprat. So then maybe ein achinami, we should be stuck by saying that it's only afiyah, nothing else. Maski for Rav Ashi, what in the world are you talking about? What do you mean klal uprat? This is not a klal uprat, for God's sake. The klal is in tzav, and the prat is in vayikra, with a sayanasi. So how in the world would you have a klal and prat? You've got a prat and a klal, okay? So even if you believe that we darshan klal or prat, we also darshan prat or klal, if they're miruchakim zemizah, you should have the opposite. What's the matter with you? If anything, it would be saying, we start off by saying sayonasi, and now we make it a general rule, which tells me that everything requires stuff. What are you saying? It can't be a klal or prat, obviously. Hi, klal or prat. This is a prat or klal. And if it's a real prat or klal, then nasa klal mosif ala prat, and it would be marba, everything needs tzafen. So, please, okay, there's got to be a completely different reason why I would have thought that in this case, the sayer nasi would have limited the din of tzafen dafka to a sayer nasi, and it sure as heck is not because it's a klal or prat. Now, you want me to tell you what it is? I'll tell you. The Tana is bothered by the word oto. He wanted to know, why does he say v'shachat oto b'mkom asher d'shachet ola? That's the question. It's not a din oto. It should have just said v'shachato. What's this v'shachat oto davka oto? That's what he's saying. Lachikoma. Maybe since it says specifically oto, it means shezeta unsafon. The Einacher Ta'un Safon, because why else did the Torah say Oto? Oto is always Mashma Oto and not something else, right? And that's why I need the third Pasuk and the fourth Pasuk of Bimkom Ha'ola. That's to tell me that all Chata'ot, including even the Siras Yochid, the Givsas Yochid, they are all Shechted B'Tzafain. And this has nothing to do with Klal Uprat Meruch Hakim. But now, if I learned out from Vishachat et Achatat that Oto does not mean what we thought it meant, that only the Sayer Nasi, so then why did it say Oto? You didn't tell me that. You haven't explained to me what that Oto is doing, because now it does not mean only the Sayer Nasi. So what does it mean? It's wonderful. Oto comes to tell me only a type of carbon that is similar to this Sayer. Can you think of a Sayer that should not be the same as this and doesn't need Shechita B'Tzafein? I can. The Sayer Nachshon. How about the Seirim that were brought by all of the Nesiim, right? So all those Nesiim, did they need to bring for the Chanukat HaMizbeach? Did they need to bring it B'Tzafein? Was it a chatas that was coming to be mechaper on a chait? No. It was a gift for the Chanukat HaMizbeach. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, this din that chataot all require, shechita B'Tzafein, is only true of chataot that are coming to be mechaper. But just like the Sayer Nasi is the Sayer Nasi and only the Sayer Nasi, another Sayer of another Nasi, those are the Seirim of the Nesiim. It's beautiful. This Sayer Nasi, which is coming on Chet, it requires Tzafein. But the Seirim of all of those Nesiim that were brought for the Chanukah HaMizbeach, they do not require Tzafein, because they're not coming for Chet. So why would I have thought that you would learn it out? Because, Sarkadai Tchamina, Hoyovis Rabbi Le'inyin Smicha. Isn't it true that the Seirim that were brought by the Nesiim for the Chanukat HaMizbeach, they all do need Smicha? Now, I would have thought that Smicha, that has to do with basically the type of thing that you're going to be misvada on. So at the time that you do your smicha, you're misvada. I mean, obviously, if it's not coming for a chet, it can't be misvada, but it's that type of thing. So if you're telling me that it's still included with smicha, okay, so that means that we're treating a carbon that is not coming for chet the same way that we're treating a carbon that is coming for chet. So then maybe misrabin amin linyan sofein. So I would have thought if smicha is enough to be b'chayev you if you're a nasi, so too would sofein be b'chayev you even if you're a nasi. That's why I need oto to tell me no. A chatas nachshon does not require shchita b'tzofein. Hey, by the way, how do we know that smicha is necessary for the chatas nachshon? Ah, that's okay if you want to know. D'tanya, v'samach yado al rosh ha-sa'ir. So this is talking about the actual sa'ir nasi, right? And it says, samach yado al rosh ha-sa'ir. So why don't you say al rosh ha-sa'ir? I mean, we've been talking about the sa'ir. It should just say samach yado al rosho. When you say ha-sa'ir, you're adding even the Seir Nachshon, on any Seir that a Nazi is bringing, put your hands on it and do smicha. That's what it's saying. So it says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't accept that. I think it's coming to tell me that there is a din of smicha on another Seir, but not on the Seir Nasi, which would be Seir Nachshon. It's coming to tell me Seir Avedas Kechavim, that needs smicha, so that the members of Sanhedrin, they all have to do smicha on a par helam davar shel tzibur or on seire avedis kechavim. In this case, the soyer were being marabe from the soyer. Fine, that's what I needed for. Now we'll talk about what the svaros are over here. Matki Floravina.
This goes to the two dots, Rabbi. Does Rabbi want to do this tonight?
Yep.
Okay.
Matki Floravina. Tenach lo Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so you explain to me why it is that I need oto, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because since Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Seirei Nasi needs smicha, so I might think that they need sofein kamash malan, that oto needs sofein, but not the Seirim of other Nisim, doesn't need suffering. That's all very nice, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Shimon, he does not hold that you need smicha for the other Karbonot HaNisim. So why would he think that you need suffering? Michael Amemer, you don't have any Havamina on those, do you? Oh my, like Marzutra, Breda, Ramari, Ravina, excuse me. But it's worse than that. It doesn't make sense according to Rabbi Yehuda either. Why would it make sense according to Rabbi Yehuda? I don't understand how one thing follows the other. I mean, you told me you have a reboot for smicha. So you've decided a reboot for smicha teaches us something about suffering? How does a reboot for smicha teach us about suffering? What makes you think that the reboot for smicha has to do with it being similar to a chatas that's ba'al chet? Maybe it's a completely new thing that an individual is only mitkasher with his carbon, with smicha. I mean, like, why are you making it a first step towards a similarity to chatos on chet? I don't see that at all. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this makes sense. My day is Rabbi, my day is Rabbi. It says that you need to do smicha, so therefore what? So therefore I need to do shechita b'tzofein. What does one have to do with the other? I don't agree. And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, you know, if it wouldn't have been that the pasuk had said oto, so then I would have thought we can learn it out from a binyan av, right? I mean, look, if it says a chatas requires suffering and nachshon is bringing a chatas, so it requires suffering. Therefore, I need oto. Well, if that's true, so then why didn't we learn out smicha from that? No, we could have learned that smicha from the same thing. Well, it's called the chatas. The other chatas need smicha. No. All of a sudden, when it came to smicha, we're all agreed, well, we need a special pasuk, an additional seir to tell me that those seirim also. So obviously, we don't believe in this binyanah for a very simple reason. We don't learn out of binyanav because sha'ami derod lo yafinan. We're not going to apply a din on normal chata'ot that are brought all the time over the years and centuries and millennia from something that happened one time in history. Please, that's a general rule. We don't derive the dinim of the dorot from something that happened only lefisha'a. So that's for sure. That's why we needed to learn out smicha, specifically from additional pasuk of Hasair. So then if that's the case, the same thing is true about Shechita B'Tzafein. Hachinami, sha'ami dorot, lo yalfina. Therefore, the same thing is true over here. You can't learn it out of the other one. So therefore, I do not need oto for this particular case. What do I need oto to tell me? I need oto to tell me oto ta'un safon, but the shochet doesn't have to be safon, meaning the carbon, the chatas has to be b'tzafon, but the shochet himself does not have to stand b'tzafon. That's what the oto is stressing. What? But we know that. That's a famous drasha that we learned before from Rabbi Achia. The Tanya.
All right, Rabbi, there's an alert.
No, there's not an alert. There's an alert that there might be an alert. Mira Rabbi Achia Nafka. The Tanya, Rabbi Achia Omer. V'shachat oto al yerech ha-mizbeach tzafona. Ma Talmud lomar. I know this din. I'll tell you what the point is. L'fishematzino b'mikabel. Somebody who's mikabel the dam, he has to actually be b'tzafen and mikabel the dam b'tzafen. But if he was Eimed B'Doraim, even though he was Mekabel Adam B'Tzofen, it would be possible. You might think that's true for Shechita also. Yochel Avzeken, that's why it says Oto. Oto B'Tzofen, V'lo HaShochet Tzarich Liyot Omed B'Tzofen. It's coming to tell me that you do not need to be as the Shochet there. So that means that we don't need the oto that comes in the parsha of the Sayer Nasi to tell me this halacha. So then I'm stuck with what do we need it for? Must be it comes to tell me oto b'tzafon, but ain ben of b'tzafon. Achatas Sayer needs to be b'tzafon. But from here we learn you do not need to do malika in the tzafon. Why would I have thought you do? Because Salkadaitramina late in the Kavachomer mi Benson. I might have thought we should say a Kavachomer. Uma Benson Shalo Kavalo Kohen Kavalo Tzafon. If you're talking about the halacha of Shechita, Shechita doesn't need a koi. Even a czar can be shochet. And nonetheless, the Shechita still has to take place b'tzafon. So a ben ofu over there, only a kohen can do the malika. So kal v'chomer, ain't a din that it's more chomer, and you have to do the malika b'tzafon. That's why we need the pasuk to tell me only oto b'tzafon, but not an of. No, excuse me, you can't sign a kal v'chomer, because a ben son actually could be more chomer. Because she came kavalo kli, even though a czar can check, but you do need to have a kli. Masha ain came, if you're talking about an oath is done with malika without any kli, so there's no kavachoma. So I don't need now the oto by the Sayer Nasi to tell me that we don't need suffering from malika. So we're still stuck. What do we do with that extra pasuk? So this, Bezrat Hashem, we will look for yet another explanation. Whew. We've had three so far. They have not stood up. The problem is if we stop learning, then we'll have an alert. But I guess it's not fair to keep everybody late. Okay. So I will say, Hinei El Yeshua Siyef Tach V'lo Efchad. And one miracle follows the other. I think we're getting inured to miracles, which is not a good thing. But Lamaisa, you see that Bnei Yisrael by Yitzias Mitzrayim, they also just, I don't know, all these makas are happening, and yeah, okay, we sit back meanwhile, we see all of this going on, and just sort of, I don't know, I guess that's the way the world runs, you know, frogs and fire and bombing. I guess, what can you do? It's only at the end that it all sort of comes down together, and then the Asimov suddenly registers, hey, maybe we're living in unusual times? So, Shavua Tov, everyone. And may we continue to see Nisim in Eflois by Yomim Shalanu. Mashalo Nasu, Afil Vitzias Mitzrayim. Kol Tov. Shavua Tov.